Go ahead.
It is 7 o'clock. We'll call to order the Town of Discovery Bay regular Board of Directors meeting. If I could please have everyone rise and join Director Gateau in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I please get roll call? Appreciate it. Now we'll move to public comment. So 3 minutes for anyone in public that would like to talk about something that is not on the agenda. Do we have anyone in the public that wants to make a comment? Anyone online?
There are no hands raised.
Okay. Give it another few seconds there. Okay, seeing none and hearing none, we will move on. If we could get the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Kelly?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you so much. And we will move to presentations. We have Veolia.
Good evening, Board. Came here today and realized how big the agenda packet was. I see y'all have a long night, so I stable on our 1.1 million gallon average flow. You know, this year, this time, this period was 34 million. Last year, we were at 35 million, so we're about the same. We have some really good numbers. Our filter efficiency is good. Y'all's favorite number at the bottom down there is slowly starting to creep up, largely due to well 7. However, that we do technically have 4 more sample results before the end of the year, which means the calendar, the rolling average for the calendar year will can still go up. I think we're probably going to be right at the limit. Good news is everything we've gotten back on this draft permit from the state that will probably go into effect about January 1st, 2025, is that the state is going to remove conductivity as an outfall permit.
That's good.
They're not going to increase it. They're going to remove it. So they understand that it's not our fault that concentration goes up because there's not the same amount of water going down the source.
You feel that's unique to us, or is that something they're doing
across
the board?
Across California, we were one of the first ones to push to actually provide justifiable reason why that wasn't us trying to get out of a limit, which typically people count as true. So in this case, we showed them, look, low flush toilets, less water going down the drain, same amount of solids being pushed means higher concentration. It's not that the treatment plant is failing. So they have accepted that, and they actually brought that up to us, so that's a win.
When is that going to be determined, or when will we know that?
We've already got the draft. We pushed back on a couple of other items, but that will go, the new permit restriction will go online.
So does that make things a little bit different for us and as far as concerns for well 7? Because that was the one that was we were really concerned about it being.
That makes the concern for well 7 no longer be a wastewater problem.
Okay.
That makes well 7 will have to increase significantly more to become a drinking water problem. So
okay.
We're okay on drinking water, but on wastewater outfall, we have different problems.
We're good. Okay.
Just
thank
as a quick refresher, so that the conductivity number comes from the wells testing, or it comes from?
It's a combination. It's actually the mix of all drinking water that goes down the toilet. The way that it is read at the outfall of the wastewater plant. So it is what's leaving the plant going to the river. So it encompasses everything that goes down the manhole. But because we're a groundwater system primarily, and we don't have a lot of rain, we don't have a lot of ISS, a lot of that is contributed because of people are using, flushing down the toilets, and then going to the wastewater plant. So
the conductivity number, that when it comes from the well, that number doesn't change then when it gets processed?
It can, but it's very slow, but it just adds to what's actually happening in the wastewater system itself.
It takes like years for that, correct?
It typically with groundwater, it's very slow to change. However, well 7's case is it spiked up on us, we didn't anticipate. That's the reason we're working to get well 5 with that.
Thank you.
Next slide, please.
Hey, before you go to the next slide, wait for you to turn the page. I'm looking at the nitrate.
Yeah,
the nitrate levels, and they're climbing.
Would you go back?
Yes, they were 5 in July and they're 6 in August. Is there anything to be concerned about there?
No, that's fluctuating on the plant. Keep in mind how small 10 is. 10 is a very, very small, very low limit wastewater outfall. The whole reason the town spent all the money for denitrification in the first place was because of that number.
Right.
Our limit is 10. We have gotten it since the new plant went online. We have gotten it as low as 5. And that is running the plant as tight as we can get. So the fact that it come up 1.
So that's not a trend. That's just a fluctuation. Okay.
If we start getting closer to 9, I'll start being a little bit.
And well 8, where are we with well 8?
Well 8, technically, they're still in preliminary build stage. We've still got some things going. They're not expected to affect the permit until probably early 2026.
There's still work being done there, construction work?
It's started. It's very, right. Very pre-construction.
All right. Thank you.
The well is in, but the standalone.
Understood. Is that hasn't started yet? That contract hasn't been implemented yet?
early planning.
Okay, all right, very good, thank you.
Yeah, next slide. And then this is where we're at, no customer complaints on wastewater, no SSO. We just hauled the last of our bottle solids, so that 210 tons that we've hauled so far this year will change as soon as we get the report back. We've actually been able to haul twice this year because we weren't able to haul last year. Reason being, we got all the rain on top of everything we built up, so we're actually hauling twice this year to catch up. So we're probably going to be in the area of 400 tons by probably the end of the month off to landfill. The lift station cleanup, we're about 40%. SORAD, we've been done, pretty much done with SORAD for the year. We are going to work with the town staff to actually, we want to show them how the SORAD works and have their help with traffic control as we do Newport Drive and Discovery Bay Boulevard. It gets pretty dangerous when we start popping manholes on those main streets. People love to try to run us over for some reason. So we won't be blocking traffic very long, but we do want some of that help. And then painting. Haven't seen it yet. We put a lot of work and a lot of time into improving painting of all of the water and wastewater system, wastewater plant too. We've been working on gardening. I just tried to commandeer some dirt from my friend Monica over here. And we really work into show it off. We did get everything painted. It's color coded per spec. But the birds felt necessary to paint over everywhere. So we're now fighting birds to keep it clean, so it's pretty when you guys can see it. But that's all I got.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you. Okay. We will now move into discussion and action. We have item E1, discussion and possible action to approve agreement with Trepepi?
Yes.
Smith Communications Consultant.
And Margaret is online. She will be giving
her. Great. Thank you. Hi, Margaret.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you all today?
Good.
And for you, this item has been presented to the Water and Wastewater Committee back in August, and then most recently at the Communications Committee here in September. And the purpose of this Communications Consultant Agreement is to really focus in on our water and wastewater projects. As you recall, during our budget discussion, we outlined a number of important projects for the town to maintain its water quality, water reliability, and one significant project on the water side is as a result of us taking another step at looking at a multi-pronged approach, if you will, to securing, if you will, the best results for the community, both in the terms of communicating what the project is, what the cost is. And so we will be looking at how we can best utilize all of the resources around us. So you certainly will hear about these projects, you know, through the engineering group. And when those projects are ready to be presented. But that said, we are pre-planning, if you will, for those projects by meeting with our rate consultant, our financial consultant, and once we understand sort of those fiscal impacts, both in terms of our budget as well as rates, we really thought it would be important to communicate the value of what the project is. Certainly, we as staff can certainly communicate certain things, but again, this is a very significant item for the town. In its history, probably water projects around. And so we wanted to make sure we got the right message there. So we did a little bit of homework, reaching out to a number of communication consultants, and we received a proposal from Mr. Kevin Smith to assist us in communicating the value of this project and also to communicate the impact that it could have to them. Both in terms of cost as well as rate. So we asked them for a proposal, and that proposal is attached for you. But the end result is that we believe this is a foundational aspect for the town. It not only provides us service, but gives us an opportunity to subscribe to our wide water revenue to go water, and you know, our you know, septic money needs to go to zone 9. You know, certainly have that aspect of kind of communicate that out to the community, but to them it may be more about town, but we do have to maintain our revenue sources separately. The other thing that it does is it provides us a way to really engage in the town, and I know we've done it in different ways through, you know, bill notices, using our social media, and we want to make sure that we're being used in an effective way, again, to communicate the project here. So the scope outlines a number of services as well. I think the most important one that I will outline is just that strategic message development. Making sure that we as staff, we as the board, we as our consultants, our contractors, we're all on the same page in describing what this project is. Ultimately, in the end, you know that the process will lead us to a process of our COP 218 process in the spring of 2025. That will be necessary for us to go through so that we can get the new rates in effect to make sure that we have sufficient funding to pay for these projects. But in addition to strategic message development, we have various ways that we'll communicate either letters to our stakeholders, websites dedicated to the project. It also will focus in on social media, focusing in on what will get the message out to the person. Certainly, there's been discussion on different ways that we can engage our community. We know that we have, you know, some engagement at our board level, some at the community level, and, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we're on the right side of this with them, understand their concerns, try to address their concerns so as we go through this process, it works well. In addition to their core services that outline care what is being requested today, they do offer some additional support to us, and I just wanted to make you aware of that so that as a small entity, if you will, having that ongoing support may be something that we might be interested beyond the sort of specific project that's listed. And so I've noted that within the board support as well. But again, we're here today really focusing on the proposal that's listed out there. And again, the full proposal is there for your attachment. I do have Caitlin Liu here, who is our senior business analyst, to answer any questions that you may have. I know there was one question that came out of the communications committee because we said that the affordability of this, the cost associated with this is coming from payroll savings. And so I did include that into the fiscal impact. That is reflected there. That last line is about $28,000 in savings due to a deferral of our hiring of our assistant general manager for the time being as we navigate through this particular process. It allows us to, again, get in a critical need at a time that's there. So with that, I'll just read the board action and then open it up for any questions. But we are asking today that the board take the following action, which is A, approve the agreement with Giuseppe Smith to provide communication support for an amount of $37,335, authorize the general manager to execute a contract with Giuseppe Smith to provide communication support, and C, authorize the general manager to execute any additional change orders to Giuseppe Smith up to 15% of the contract value. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Let me open up for public comment. Do we have any public that would like to comment on this item? Please.
Kirk Lawrence, 4740 Discovery Point. I read through this their proposal, and you know, I think it's really great because one thing that's totally misunderstood in terms of how this body functions is what revenues go where and what you can spend on and what you can't spend on and how you can't commingle. I think the public will really benefit from an education in that regard. The one thing that I didn't see in there was kind of like how do we go out and or how do we understand how the public is feeling about all this? There's no survey in order to communicate. I think we need to, or the proposal needs to go out and survey members of the public. You know, they're facing increased rates, they're facing streets being dug up, et cetera. You know, how do they feel about that? You know, what are their pain points? Is it $5 more on the bill, on their bills? Is that a no-brainer, or is it 15? I think it behooves us to go out and figure that out before we channel a message out to them. You know, what? Also, something that was missing, so I'm going over time. You know, what is the goal here in doing this, and how is that being measured? That wasn't really obvious.
It's basically a feedback mechanism.
I think we need to go out and understand before we communicate.
Great, thank you so much. Do we have any other public comments? Anyone online?
No hands are raised.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion.
Hey, Margaret, this is Brian Duchev. How are you? Good seeing you again.
Yeah.
Okay, so just for clarification, so I fully understand the staff report, Trepepi for the $37,000 is going to help us implement all the bullet point items that are listed. Is that correct? Is that
correct? That is correct. And if I could perhaps have a comment. What I feel from this, and I do appreciate him bringing that up, is that to get the community's feedback, we are requesting to have a community meeting so that we would have various opportunities, if you will, from, you know, presentation, storyboards. Again, we'll make those decisions collectively, but that's the opportunity to hear from the community so they understand. Again, this is not a nice to have, but this is a need to have. So, wanted to mention that, but to answer your question, Director, yes, those bullet points there are listed in bullets, but they are described in further detail within their proposal.
Well, certainly we could have some verbiage on the webpage contact requesting the residents. They have some feedback. You know, the mechanism could be just replying back to the webpage, and we can collect that, I'm sure. So, but what are the add-ons, though? The optional service add-ons for 60.
Right. So at this moment, you know, until we sort of get into the project and understand sort of where it is, we wanted to leave them as optional, but I wanted you to be aware of what those potentials could be. So the first one there is mentioned about more in line with sort of a more expanded, if you will, flyer associated with sort of in a bilingual aspect and other sort of additional sort of outreach, if you will, on the media side. Again, you know, we're in a unique space, you know, within the town of Discovery Bay, which is not necessarily in a more metro area. So some of the outreach that might be typical, if you will, within a more, you know, heavily populated area, with, you know, those kind of news venues, you know, might be better served. You know, where we may see our better services, where are we seeing, you know, people connecting through Facebook, Instagram, you know, wherever that we're seeing it, we want to get to know that and be able to do that. The other ones that are listed there, number two talks about just getting a consistent sort of brand and image associated with it. So again, we have our logo, but again, as we talk about certain things, hopefully, again, when they're starting to see some of the sort of you know, I can't go fully speak to it right now because I don't know what it would look like, but the idea is to get some consistency among, like, our presentations, our, you know, that we have from the work reports to all the way, you know, out into the community, so that when they see it, they know who we are and what we're talking about. And then the last one is once we maybe get established, again, you know, we're not a large staff, and so the idea is that they support us on an ongoing basis, really building that foundation of what a solid communication platform can look like for the community. We certainly have, you know, some social media, but it focuses mostly on our community events, which is a good thing. However, there are other things that they will want to know about. So what's happening with water and wastewater? You know, if they see a project going, how do we share that news, and how do we consistently you know, inform and engage our community on that? So when they see something happening, you know, water-related, they understand, like, oh, I understand that this is, you know, like the flushing that, you know, we're talking about, or something to that effect. Again, yet to be determined, but those are the ideas of getting to, I think, more foundational communication that I think will be a broader sense of who we are as opposed to just what is happening within our community center, for instance.
Thank you.
No. How about communications committee? Do you have some input on your thoughts?
No, we went through it and we're got our questions answered and are happy.
Well, as Margaret stated, this project isn't a request; it's a need for the town. Mm-hmm. So we, trying to figure out the best way to disseminate that information in a positive manner is a challenge. So I think these guys certainly have a proposal that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And the optional services, obviously, we can add them on as needed if we see that there is a need.
I think the biggest concern we get from the public is they don't know.
100%.
And so instead of always being on the defense, this is
mm-hmm.
a great way for us to be on the offense and be open about what we can and can't do. And, we are a small agency, but I think anything that you can do for branding and better communication is a plus.
And
then,
doing nothing really isn't an option unless somebody doesn't want water any longer.
Like zero is zero, right? And again, we're small. So, we're saving about, if you look at the grand scheme of it, we're saving about $35,000 in hiring somebody as a full-time
mm-hmm.
staff to do that, plus, because you have benefits and everything else that goes with that. So I think it's an excellent thing for us to do before we even get started on this project.
And how does reporting work? So obviously they're doing all this work, they're giving you the deliverables. How is the project tracked on how the communication's going out, and who ultimately do they report to? Is it the town manager? And I'm assuming, because I saw that there were status calls built into the proposal, so those would be where you would do your checkpoints? Okay. Because obviously we want to make sure we get the most value out of a spend.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion from the board?
If Director Graves doesn't have anything to add, then I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
All right, we have the motion. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Coe?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President
Callahan? Aye. Thank you so much. Looking forward
Thank
to
you.
Seeing some good communication.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Excellent. Okay, we will move to item E2. Discussion possible action to approve 25-year license agreement with Contra Costa Water District to access the town's wastewater diffuser site.
Yes, so we've been talking about this for about a year. It took us about that long to get Contra Costa Water and us to agree. This is our diffuser. We need to access our diffuser. And what we have to do is use our access road to be able to do that. And so we came up with a 25-year lease at a minimal cost to be able to help keep maintenance on that road, since we're going to be using it often. And we do use it often. We only use it probably a few times a week.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. So we've discussed this. This went to Water and Wastewater Committee prior to this meeting. The staff report does detail it all out. And also, behind it is the agreement. So, any questions regarding this?
I will say that this came to Water and Wastewater last month. We dissected it and asked a ton of questions, and really probably for the amount of money, what was it, $250,000 a year for 25. It's a nominal fee. It's just kind of like, we need to get something from you,
mm-hmm.
And we know we got you over a barrel, but we're going to be really fair with you. And so we felt it was a very fair request on their report.
Is there any risk? Okay, two-parter. So this is all paid up front in a single amount?
Yes, it is.
Okay, is there any risk with something happening and that no longer being? Yes.
I don't believe so. The Costa Water has been there for a very long time.
Sure.
It
seems low risk, because you're just going to ask, right? We're going to pay $62.50, and then year two, they're going to say, oh, sorry, that's not a road anymore.
So the area that
we're accessing from them is an asphalted area that goes to their plant,
okay.
And then we go off onto a dirt road after that. But the only
okay.
part that we're paying for is the part that's asphalted. So it's probably pretty permanent. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
And so it's probably pretty permanent.
Okay.
It's not the dirt part.
Perfect.
Anything else from the board? Offer it up to public comment. Is there any public that would like to comment? No? Okay, hearing none, then we'll be open for a motion.
I make a motion to accept staff's request.
And I'll second that.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Cho?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye. Thank you so much. And we will move to E3, discussion and possible action to approve resolution 2024-14, amending board policy 002 bylaws for the town of Discovery Bay.
So what did internal ops, what were their recommendations? Who was on internal ops?
Mike, go ahead, Mike.
When this was brought to internal ops, we heard exactly what you see in the staff report. You know, before I give my opinion on it, I'd like to have further discussion, but I would like, the reasoning behind it seemed like it was in order to keep someone on the board just to have continuity between projects, elections, the biannual committee, or the, is it biannual? Bi-termal? What is that? Bicameral? Bi-something?
Every 2 years.
Every 2 years, yeah. Rotations of the committees. So I see the reasoning. It's laid out very carefully. I would like us to have some more robust discussion before I try to influence anything. Do you want to hear any public comment, if there is any public comment? Any public?
No.
Would you like to? Yeah, please, Kurt.
So, I think in theory, it's a good idea to have, you know, experienced people in this critical role. The thought came to mind was that, well, right now it's Kevin and Ashley, right? And you guys have the same election cycle, right? So what if Superman and Lois Lane come in and knock you guys out? Then we're going to be in a situation where we've got nobody who's up to speed. So that kind of struck me as being off. I would suggest that you guys take another director who's off cycle and have them shadow the committee to come up to speed. This stuff's really complex. I totally understand. I totally get it. But have them shadow it. What's it going to cost? $100 a meeting? That's nothing. Because you can't afford to lose, you know, the continuity of the knowledge.
Thank you.
So can I clarify something? So this would be only the most senior member on that committee that would stay. So it's not both. So, in instance, if we were doing this, Kevin, let's pretend I'm the most senior person. I would stay, Kevin, if I choose to stay, I would stay. And then the next seat would go into our normal rotation of selecting, which would be president, vice president, and then by seniority, correct? So in theory, I would stay. Let's say Carolyn gets reelected. She could then take that second position. We're now on two different cycles. But the goal of this, because it is very complex, and I mean, we're talking what we just did before, and voted on is something that's been in the works for 2 years. And understanding kind of the intricacy of how we do stuff and what, I mean, I know once I got on the committee, I sat with Kevin for a really, really long time, and there are things that would come up that I had zero understanding of, but he had the background of that and was able to bring me up to speed. But if there were two of me on that committee, it would have been even harder for Anthony and Aaron and everyone to do what they needed to do. And some of this stuff was timely. Like the diffuser project is a great example of that. We had diffusers that weren't working. You know, we needed to understand what that meant. And if that would have been delayed because they were trying to teach us what we needed to do in there and what those complications were, that project could have easily been, you know, a $5 million project versus a $250,000. So I guess what I'm saying is I think it's important to have someone on there, a senior person on there, and then helping with getting the next person up to speed.
Well, I have a couple comments. So in no particular order, one, I find the timing a little icky, and we have an election in 60 days or less, and potentially we could have two new board members. So it just seems like this proposal, this close to an upcoming election, just doesn't rub me right. And potentially, in two more years, we could have three new directors, and the whole board would be brand new. When the CSD board was created, was it 15 years ago approximately, give or take? Everybody was brand new. Nobody had specific direct knowledge about anything. So the system's been working fine, in my opinion, up to this point. Maybe I'd have a different perception if this wasn't so close to an upcoming election, but I just find it just kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong that in 60 days we're about to have an election, we want to have a significant change to our bylaws. And while I understand what Director Porter just said, well, everyone's competence level is different. So to say that another board member can't come up to speed quickly, I find a little insulting. And some board members are quicker than others. So
you're saying I'm dumb?
No, not at all.
I mean, that's kind of what that sounded like.
To use yourself as an example.
For example, it took you forever to come up to speed.
This one.
You are not very competent.
What I'm saying is I believe those staff between our water manager and Veolia and the town manager, there's a wealth of information that can be easily accessed to come up to speed on other projects. And at the end of the day, whether or not this rule change happens, it doesn't mean that, you know, necessarily the senior member is going to be off that committee anyways. It just depends on what other directors decide to choose as far as what subcommittee they want to be on.
I guess the concern is, to repeat what you're saying, Brian, is that while staff can do that, that's pulling them away from what we're paying them to do and to running our water wastewater.
I disagree. The staff is there to help the board efficiently run the town.
Staff is there to run the town and not to teach the board, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
The stuff... I guess that, like, what we're talking about, right? Like, we're getting ready to discuss a huge pipeline project. Understanding, like, where we got to, I don't have that knowledge.
But there's always going to be a project. That's my point. And potentially in 2 years or less, we could have a whole new board anyways, in which case this conversation is a moot conversation.
I just think we have some big stuff coming up.
Yeah. Again, if this was so close to an election, I might have a different perspective, but 6 days away.
Okay, and I have points. I'm not saying, just like Michael, I'm not saying one way or the other, but in listening to Brian, so y'all decide you're not going to run again. You're done. Then we lose that history, which, as I've told Kevin many times, is obviously invaluable. Obviously yours is too, but
not as much as his, but
yeah. We lose, you know, all that history, and would it be short-sighted if we decide, okay, let's not train the newbies? You know, I agree. I think that's very important, and I think with the staffs and the town managers, with their expertise and experience, they can easily train new people to come on. Even Kevin was new at one point, so I don't need to.
I guess
I'm
just
giving you a bad time.
I think
but
it was a smaller district in those days.
Okay, but I, you know, and I just hate for us to look at some point in time and say, God, that was short-sighted. We should have done this. Because I mean, you two, and even you could decide next time.
I guess it is kind of a benchmark thing because it's only one senior member, right? So, again, let's say...
Which means there's four of the board members have one less of an opportunity to get on that committee.
But you're still building a bench.
And at the end of the day, if Director Graves doesn't get on it, his knowledge doesn't go away. His value to the board doesn't go away.
I don't think it's a Director Graves thing. I think it's to try and protect what we do as a community, which is water and wastewater.
In this particular case, the perception is it's for one director. So.
It's not. It doesn't say Kevin Graves on there.
Okay, so...
Or Ashley Porter.
So, Dina, okay, let's, you know, God willing, I get reelected and we have one new board member sitting up here. So, the choosing of the committees would be, I would go first.
As it stands with the bylaws we have now,
yes,
every 2 years, directors
right.
have to choose.
Right.
It starts with president, vice president, or
and
senior director.
And that would be Brian next year, right? Would you be vice president
yes.
next year?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I would go first.
Correct.
Brian would go second.
Kevin.
New.
Then,
okay.
I don't work those out.
Yeah,
Ashley, then Michael. That's right. You were appointed before Michael ran. That's right.
Yeah. So in theory, the new people aren't getting on that committee anyways.
In 2 years, though, possibly.
Yeah, but then they're not new in 2 years.
But they're certainly not senior members of a...
I don't know. Kevin,
but they are technically senior members at 2 years.
You want to hear from me?
It'd be nice.
It's a little odd to hear from... I mean, I'm purposely not... speaking because of the arrows that are directed in my direction, but I just respecting this was a staff recommendation
right.
to the internal
right.
affairs. This was not an internal.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a water.
Right.
Wastewater.
This was not
yeah,
a water wastewater. This was staff
yeah.
brought this to
mm-hmm.
us because they're concerned about what they need to do to be able to effectively run the committee. I have to respect their decision. That's
mm-hmm.
all I really have to say
mm-hmm.
about it.
President?
So, I definitely see both sides. I understand Director Gouteau's points on wanting to have the opportunity for new members to come on. I also understand where the town's coming from, wanting to have a member that is tenured in that committee. I think there's valid points on both sides. I think that having continuity is very important. I also think that having fresh perspectives is very important. That said, I think we need to, if there's no other discussion, we need to bring it to the vote and see where we are. Any other discussion?
I would make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second it.
Okay, can we go to the roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gouteau?
No.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
And I'll go with an aye. So that passes. All right, we will move to, thanks everyone for the discussion. We will move to item number E4. Discussion possible action to approve agreement with Monarch Landscape Companies, Jansen Landscape, and the enhancement project on Wild Drive.
Hello. Thank you. So Zone 9 is where Wild Drive is, and it is owned and maintained by us, the town of Discovery Bay. We do all the streetscape, frontages along Wild Drive Co. and Ravenswood Park. And that landscaping is approximately 20 years old. Underdeveloped trees, just hasn't been, other than weed control, nothing, no new life, nothing updated in all that time. We did bring this item to the September 4th Park and Rec Committee meeting. However, no official action was taken, as it was not a Brown Act meeting due to a quorum not being met, but we did receive positive feedback, therefore bringing it to the board for a discussion and vote. I have attached for you some pictures and a diagram of the area that we are proposing to improve. So it runs all along Wild Drive, all the way to the basin. You can see that. This is the same company that recently did the corners for us on Preston and Point of Timber. Beautiful. Again, putting in the rock and really trying to get away from the bark. The rock, and it's not the little California gold pebble rock, but it's a little bit larger. It has some color to it, dimension. It doesn't roll with dogs walk through it and that kind of thing. And then there's some pictures, two different sketches of ideas of the type of plant life that we could put in there. That's certainly interchangeable. Is there any questions? We're looking for...
Yes, sir.
Oh,
go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, I was just going to go with the recommended action, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'm sure this was looked at, but should we go through next year's, the long streak of hot weather? Are all these plants going to be with us at the end of the hot streak?
Yeah, we're also putting in all new drip systems.
Yes,
so
but I know, but these are all plants that can deal with droughts. Droughts and just excessive hot weather.
Referring to what happened at Cornell Park where everything burned up. So it is the prime planting season. It's probably in the fall.
Yes.
Where it will make it stronger and stable. So
for the year.
We get the spring and where the roots are already settled.
Okay,
there,
so we're comfortable that these are the good choices for the plants.
I apologize. I did not.
I know. I was kind of, I was rambling.
No, I'm sorry.
I was rambling. Okay.
I like the color options. I think we need a lot more color around.
I agree.
So, seeing that there are some flowering options, that's really cool.
I like the gravel too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay, good. Yeah, I think the area they did looks real nice. And this will make that area. I don't know if you've driven it lately, but it doesn't look very nice. It definitely needs some love.
Any other questions or concerns to the board? Is there any public comment on this topic? Oh, yeah. Please, Kurt.
So, just kind of a question. Is this coming out of the Zone 9 budget, or is this coming out of the Parks and Rec landscape budget overall?
It shows under fiscal impact, Zone 9.
So
it's
in the staff report.
So, I was just thinking in terms of the brand, Discovery Bay, the brand, you know, it would be nice to do along Highway 4. I think that'll give us a lot of visibility. If we can improve the landscaping along Highway 4 and make us look really professional, I think that'll have property values, make us look good, improve our brand.
Thank you. Do we have any online?
There are no hands raised.
Okay. Do you have any further
no, not unless there's any other questions.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No, Parks and Rec approved this.
This was the one that they were talking about didn't have quorum?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay. My bad. I should read the staff report, right? I did read the staff report. I did know that.
Okay.
So,
I'll move staff recommendation because it sounds to me like a great idea.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Pinto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Grant?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much. And final item, E5, discussion and possible action to approve agreement with MRC Game Time, great name, to replace Cornell Park playground structure.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one too. We're doing a lot of improvements. So the playground structure at Cornell Park was installed in 2011, and it's currently only rated for 5 to 12 year olds. So in looking at it, and we've got some sketches there of what we're proposing to put in and make better use of that space other than having just one structure, reaching the 2 to 12 year olds with that design, I just think would allow families to come and enjoy that area and all those age group to have a safe place to play. We've been doing upgrades to Cornell Park. We've resurfaced the tennis and pickleball courts and the basketball area. So really keeping with long overdue improvements with that park. This again was another item that was brought to the Park and Rec Committee meeting. We didn't have a forum, but again, positive feedback. So we're bringing it to the full board. That playground there is almost 15 years old. And we'd like to brighten it up and again make better use of the space. It's nearing its life and looking pretty shabby as well. But it's been, yes.
Are we reusing any of the current structure or replacing the whole thing?
All of it.
And that was put in
2011.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I knew it was a fair budget. And we've already replaced the rubber matting that was breaking it up. Has that already gone back to this kind of?
It's the engineered wood fiber, and we will be reusing this because the stuff we have in there now is not that old. So.
And we're not changing the overall shape. We're not bringing any cement work. It's going to stay within the footprint that it currently is in.
It is the current footprint. It's just removing what's there and putting in two new structures that will reach ages 2.
Are there shade structures currently there like this?
No, it has the little tiny plastic one, but not like this.
Yeah, but only like over the top, like it's just like a little roof over one
exactly.
section.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I may be having a stroke or a brain palpitation, so help me out here.
Yeah.
We're talking about Cornell, mm-hmm. where the current structure is with the wall that's around it. Okay, and there's no parking right there, right?
There's not.
Okay, I was just looking at the diagrams, and I'm trying.
I was kind of looking at that too.
This is not our park.
100%. Okay, I was like, okay, so we're giving up the basketball courts we just resurfaced, and the bathrooms that we just, okay.
Read the fine print, Michael.
Okay.
That is a great question.
Get a little myopic.
Listen, I'm just making sure.
That is a very good question.
Okay, one thing to ask is. And we get really hot in the summer. I don't care what they say. I have yet to find any play structure that is not a million degrees anytime after like 10 o'clock in the morning. When going through this, if there is anything that they offer, I see the shade, but we all know how that works.
Yeah.
If there's any new technology that they have developed in Playscape Land to help with disperse the heat, I think that would be something that we really would like to know.
I did ask about that, actually.
Okay.
Director Guto asked about the temperature of this, and we had some discussion. And so I did go back and ask before this meeting. And this is what's out there. Anywhere you go, it's powder-coated. It's not it's metal, but it's got the powder coating on it. There's not another product that's going to make it cool. But this is the newest and the best product that's out there.
Like for instance,
Game Time is a very well-known, popular
100%.
Brand.
They always put like if you look at the overhead diagrams, you always see like the shade structure is perfect, right? It's over the like the landing areas. It is not over the slide.
If the sun didn't move, it worked really well.
Yeah.
Or if the earth didn't rotate. Excuse me. 100%. If the earth didn't rotate, it worked very well.
But I'm more like looking at this and I'm seeing a slide that is exposed, it, that will absolutely remove the skin from your child.
So the other thing that I would think you would have to put into your budget someplace is replacing the shade structures, because we know with the wind and that we have out here and the tremendous UV exposure we have out here, those are going to be, those are not going to last as long as the playground equipment is going to last, probably. Based on what I have in my backyard, that won't.
And I do like the idea of not doing another giant spider web.
I loved the idea of making the park, like I said, it's the two age groups, which we don't have, other than the top lot, we don't have anything for the littles.
100%.
So having all of that in one footprint and not changing what we have and it fits, I thought was probably the best option.
And then what is the proposed timeline for install?
I do have that in here. Once it's approved, contracts, everything done, it takes approximately 12 weeks for delivery of the equipment and approximately 2 weeks for installation.
Okay.
So the price includes equipment and installation?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The only concern that I have is that, I'm all of the opinion, let's fund all the park projects. Let's get all the money away.
Yeah.
But I just wonder about the demographics of the surrounding area of Cornell Park, whether it really necessitates a younger child, play structure versus Slyker Park or Ravenswood Park or Regatta Park, for that matter, whether or not we own it or not. We placed the structure at Ravenswood, and we spent about $100,000 on that particular structure, if my memory serves me correct.
It was, I think, closer to 150.
Okay, 150. But with that neighborhood, though, from my experience as a real estate agent, tends to have a lot more younger people, where this proposal maybe makes a little bit more sense. Not saying, though, people can't come from all over to Scary Bay and utilize any of the parks, because they can't. So I'm just talking out loud right now.
No, that's what this is about. I think my comment to that, is that people are constantly moving in and out, though. The demographic doesn't stay the same. I mean, kids grow and move on and go to college, and they retire and new life moves in. So having a park that overall can meet the needs of all the age groups was my thought process.
Absolutely. And again, I'm just talking out loud a little bit here.
For sure.
And Brent, if you don't mind, one of the things I will say is Cornell is the park that I visit a lot. And I'm, more towards this way on the boulevard. So that's kind of like where we push down to. So, I mean, I think the reach of Cornell is quite large.
I agree. I
mean, you know better. I'm very real.
So we have at least one director who's going to be utilizing that park.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be down there all the time.
My point I was just going to make is, another thought is instead of doing two play structures, do one play structure. And like in Brentwood, they cover the entire play structure with these giant canvas covers. I might not be using the right words here. I don't know if you've seen those before.
Yeah.
Maybe the $50,000, and maybe we spend $150 on a play structure, and then the $50,000 could be a giant cover to cover the entire structure. So
I'll tell you, I just got a price for one of those.
It's probably not going
to I just got a price to cover for the county. To cover the newer one that they put in from their Prop 68 money at Regatta, the smaller one, to cover the whole thing, and it was just over $60,000.
So
for that smaller area, this is much larger.
I have a quick question. This came to Parks and Rec, correct?
Kind of.
There wasn't a form.
Yeah. So we're kind of talking
about
as well.
Okay.
The other thing, Director Pito, about the dual play structures, the reason why that's nice is because when you have someone that would use the little structure, it's nice to have other little people using that little structure. And when you have one structure like at Regatta, with beautiful structure, amazing, right? But you have larger children, smaller children, and it's nice to have more of a dedicated area for small. That's my opinion.
If this was money that was coming in on a residual basis, it'd be different, but we're going to be using the Hoffman Fund money, and once that money's gone, the money's gone.
Yeah, I completely understand.
Just want to make sure we spend it as smartly as possible.
Well, and you also have that park where we're running baseball fields and stuff like that, so
there's
a bunch of little kids that, you know, as a parent with a kid that plays baseball and has a littler kid, it's nice to be able to let them have a place to go.
And not discounting your thoughts and your
chihuahua.
Great thoughts.
You do not.
But I think this is a very good use of the Hoffman money, something that's in there. It's permanent, it's for a number of ages, and it is going to be there for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, do we, I don't think I went to public comment for this topic. Is there any public comment? Please.
So I see a lot of grandparents walking around in strollers with little kids, so maybe there is, but maybe there isn't. That's a total fallacy of an argument. I think you made it straight on, is that I think this board doesn't make enough data-driven decisions, and that you really should dig down into the data to make these kinds of decisions. Also, 13 years. This structure has been around for 13 years. What's the expected life of this new structure? That doesn't seem like a long time. I mean, when I was growing up, the stuff that's in my park, where I grew up, is still there. That would be interesting to find out.
Great, thank you. Do we have any public online that has hand raised?
But we have another public comment.
Oh, do we? I'm sorry.
Somebody lives across the street.
Hi.
I'm Leslie Belcher. I actually live across the street from Cornell Park. And I use the park all the time. I live in the park. Disappointed with the lawn, but that's another story. The plank structure, it looks to me like it's not in that bad shape. The existing one is there now. My concern, my question is, it was just resurfaced, that whole area. So what is the cost to pull up what was just put in and put in this new structure?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, is there no... There's
no back and forth on that? Not a public comment, I'm sorry. We will try to address it, and you're welcome to stay right after, and we can have a discussion. Thank you.
I remember my last comment. It was, we should do a sunshade, definitely, but make it solar panels.
Is there any public online with a hand raise?
There are no hands raised.
Okay. Thank you. More discussion from the board?
None for me. Is there a...
No.
Any other discussion?
Motion.
Yeah, motion to approve.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Kellogg?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are now moving to...
it's you.
I think it's still me, right?
Manager's report, landscape update, FY.
Kelly's going to put up some slides for me. Just again, wanting to show you what we're doing around town. I know everybody probably doesn't get to drive all parts of town. Things we've been doing in the month of August. So that lower retaining wall had been hit and was down for a very long time. we got that fixed. We did that in-house, so I wanted to share that with you.
Is that corner ours?
It's the county's. That's zone 57.
So we did it.
Okay. I had one of our... Matt did that. He fixed it. We had to get some more of those... cinder blocks, and so he went out there, took him a few hours, and we got it put back together.
We do it, but we charge the county for that, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
and then it will all grow back. But it, we have to bring it back to a manageable height. So that was Newport. And then next slide. And Sailboat, we did some cleanup out there. Actually, we're giving a lot of love over to the Regatta area right now. So that's one of the parking lots there on Sailboat Drive. So you can see that, again, got out of control. So
again, that's zone 55?
That's 57.
57?
Yep, 57.
There's no 55.
There is no 55, but...
Speed limit.
Not if you have a lead foot. Next slide. And that's the other parking lot. You can see we really kind of got in there and cleaned it out. You couldn't even see the ground. It was so overgrown. So... getting all of that tidied up and getting some good feedback, a lot of actually really great feedback from the residents in 57. Next slide, please. Regatta Park, we went in and you can really see the difference in the side-by-sides of those trees. It almost looks like one ginormous bush on the left. But went through, and this is a safety concern. You've got to lighten these trees up so when we have windstorms, and I had an arborist out to make sure that they were sound and safe, the root system, everything. So next slide. Highway 4, again, you can see on the left where you just couldn't even see the ground. See that it's cleaned up. This is, I want to mention, the only section of Highway 4 that we maintain. We don't own it. We don't own this. This is Contra Costa County. We do maintain it for them, but that is only from Bixler to the end of the sound wall. The entirety of Highway 4 is not something that we are responsible for and take care of. That would be through Caltrans.
Yeah, you have to negotiate with them then, or just get out of
there. No, we don't. People just have to call Caltrans and say you want something done. We don't have
contracts or anything.
Nothing.
Going back to Zone 57, just clarification.
Yes.
So is it the process the same for, as an example, the water fountain? You have to ask their permission to do what you just accomplished as far as the maintenance, or are there some things that...
Because I had to ask for extra money. Zone 57 gives us, it's nearly impossible to keep that area maintained on the budget that the county gives us. I could have brought the numbers. We can bring them if you ever want to know. But it is nearly impossible. So what I've been doing is when I see something like this, or the drinking fountain, that really needs to be taken care of, it's not possible to take out of the operating budget that they provide us. So I go to them and kind of plead my case and send pictures and say, this is what it looks like. Do you please have some money that we can get this done? And they told me yes. And then they'll give me a special billing code, and then that's where that all goes.
Would that be the same for, like, example, for Slifer Park? The same procedure?
Same thing.
Got it.
Same thing, yep. And this is Preston Drive and Point of Timber. This was also, this is Zone 61. This is the county. And they had some monies, and I said, we want to do something with this corner because it needs some help. And this is what my plan is to start doing through the town little by little. And so this is how it turned out. We're not done with it. We're going to add some more things behind kind of where the retaining wall is, but we'll be doing that part in.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
I think this should be the benchmark for the landscaping for the entire town. It just, what you guys did there is, in my opinion, just a great uniformity, and it complements the community very well, very nicely.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. And we upgraded, got rid of the old spray wasting water, so it's got new irrigation in there that uses less water. So all the way around. Thank you.
And I think Clipper Drive, with a little tweaking, a little added, can be very close to that. And so I hope you come back with a request for additional funds to finish what should have been done in the first place.
And
has nothing to do with
it.
But fantastic job over there.
Thank you. And that's the east side, so the next slide will be the west side. So you can see, like, why take that hedge out? I made use of that. It just needed to be cleaned up. And then, you know, some more planting in the rocks. And again, your new irrigation on that side as well.
Next slide.
More tree work. I know you have a broken record. I keep telling you all the tree work, but it's throughout town. We just have to chip away at it. But it was very much needed. You can see in that very first picture, the tree was covering the solar light. You couldn't even see, or the solar panel. You couldn't even see that there was a solar panel there. And you can in the second picture. So, next slide. Oh, these islands, these little islands at the end of South Point and Discovery Point and Laguna. We went in and cleaned them and trimmed up the ice plant and pulled out all those volunteer palm trees. But I will be bringing before you a plan to re-landscape all of those areas as well. I already have in the works. I've met with someone in keeping with the theme that we did on Preston and Point of Timber. So that we've got like a uniform to the town. Next slide. Same thing you can see with Laguna. That's another one that I'm passionate to change. That 1970s ice plant, I think, is just sleepy tired and it needs to go.
It's good ground cover, though.
It is good ground cover.
And it doesn't take much water and it stays green.
In some areas where we can keep it, we can, but some of it, in some of those islands through town, South Point is beyond needing help.
Priorities.
I know. That was probably it. So landscape update, any questions about that?
No, it's looking nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's really good.
Thank you.
All right, did you say that you had a G?
I do. I have actually three of them.
Okay.
So I will start with the bathrooms at Point Oak Park. That project should be done by the end of September. They are now working on the cellular communications to be able to open and lock and open the bathrooms. So we're looking forward to that being a go starting the first week of October. Solar project. So that is still moving forward. I'm meeting with Veolia probably in the next few weeks. We're going to discuss where to place the solar panels here in the parking lot and over the courts. So that is moving forward. Also, just letting you know that I am now a CSDM, so a certified district manager. I passed the test. It was a year-long course, and I'm very honored to be part of the three now general managers for Discovery Bay that have passed that test. Well, that is a very big deal. So in California, there are 3,400 special districts. Of those, 79 are CSDM managers. So that gives you a big number there. And 12 are platinum status, which is what we are. So we're also reapplying for a platinum status that has to be done every 3 years. So that is definitely something to be proud of our district. We are a leader in special districts in California, and I would like to encourage and maintain that into the future. So,
make sure you add that to your profile on the town's website, please.
Yeah, will do.
Congratulations.
Yes, it was. We had our peacock tails out when Dina got called to the front of the whole CSDA convention to receive her.
Amazing.
Were you her hype?
Well, like job well done.
Yeah.
It was hard because I didn't
even though she surprised us with this, didn't tell us it was going to happen.
Did you think about my suggestion of sending out a press release?
Yes, actually, Andy suggested that as well, so I'm working on something like
excellent.
That. I was actually going to think about just waiting until we re up our transparency certificate and all those things and maybe doing it all as one. So I'll bounce that off you later.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Congratulations.
Because that is something for all of us to be very proud of this district. So.
And it's good for the town to know that those levels have been achieved because they are difficult to maintain. And with the numbers of platinum districts and CSDMs out there, it's not a common thing. And it's even more uncommon to have both.
Yes. Yeah.
So, thank you very much. We'll move to any director reports. Anything that we need to call out from the two file?
They're in the
no highlights.
No.
Okay, very good. Regional meeting training report, same?
We need to, somebody needs to talk on our trip to, go ahead, Carolyn.
It was very good. It was extremely, extremely hot. Extremely hot. Did I say extremely? Yes.
Do you mind
117 degrees.
Yes. Just so everyone understands what exactly it was.
There is a conference that's held every year by CSDA, which is Community Services
District Association.
District Association. And
California.
People get all together from CSDs just all over the state, and it could be CSDs that are similar to ours. It could be CSDs that handle cemeteries, that handle fire. It just goes on and on. But the chance to network with all these people, and they have so many breakout sessions that on so many topics, it really gives us all an opportunity to learn, to talk to new people, and come up with ideas, and I think we all come back with learning a little bit here and there, and with some new contacts. I went to one session on the Brown Act, and just to keep up with any changes. And so there was one change that I had questions on that Andy and I talked about today, and he'll be getting back to us on that at some point soon. And the legal updates. I mean, I can just go on and on. What about you, Brian? What sessions did you enjoy?
I loved them all.
I think it's very beneficial for us to understand what the state's trying to do legislatively,
mm-hmm.
and they have a tremendous team of attorneys that fight on our behalf on a regular. You know, being a part of that association, we bring some real power with lobbyists. They have full-time lobbyists that keep us from having. There was some laws that were going to get passed that were going to have us having to meet standards of cities, which would have just handicapped us and other types of things. And so there's a real benefit to being a part of that association, and then just the resources within the resource area that I met the people from Trepepe.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see the different resources that are available, talk to the different organizations that are supporting CSDAs throughout the state.
Very good. Do we have any correspondence, legal reports? None? Any future agenda items from the board? Okay, with that, at 8:19, we'll adjourn. Thank you.